listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, New Chapel. How's everybody doing today? Hey, wasn't worship awesome this morning? Praise God. That was amazing and so good to be able to worship with you. Hey, my name's Joe. I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel, and we are in a new series that starts this week called We Church, Not Me Church. And as a church, we're in a very particular season in the sense that we are moving locations. And we are moving to 4 Mile and Alpine. Our new facility is coming up. I'm so excited about it, guys. I really am. Yeah, give it up. I know that people are excited about it. And so we're starting this series, but kind of my belief is I think that we kicked off this service and this series actually on Wednesday night. Because on Wednesday, we called for like a last-minute prayer gathering. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 6 in the Old Testament that talks about when you move into a house or move into a building, if you will, that you would write these different scriptures on your doorposts and on your lintels. And so what we did was we called together the church, as many as would come, and said, hey, let's pray. And we handed out Sharpie markers, and we prayed and put up different scriptures and even names of people that we were believing God for, breakthrough that we were looking for. In fact, guys, I think we have some pictures of that. I'd love to be able to show you just a couple. He says, keep going, go through it. I think we might be able to have them towards the end of service today. I'd love to be able to show you. But as we were in that service, I'm here to tell you, we felt the presence of God like really we had never before. I've heard from several people come and say that was the most powerful prayer meeting that they had ever been to. And it's not just because we're moving into a building and that thing is going to be church. If we've proven one thing, is that the church is not a building. Eh, New Chapel? I'm talking to a church that sets up and tears down every week. The church is not a building, amen? But it's going to be a great tool for us to reach new people, put on all new programming, and I'm excited about it. Now, I want to tell you about someone that's really made an impact in my life. This person, if you've ever heard my story of me getting the call into ministry, getting prayed for at camp when I was a 17-year-old kid, or maybe you've ever heard the story of me talking and I was on my way to Alpine from my small town up north and had so much unforgiveness in my heart. I got on the phone with this particular person, and this person is a father to me in the ministry, in the faith, and for all practical purposes, I call him Pops. And he would minister to me. And when I was going up on that road so many years ago, he ministered healing and forgiveness to my heart. And that's what really opened up my heart to be able to receive the call, to be able to plant New Chapel, to marry Kaya. And this person was instrumental in my development. And I could think of no better way as we go into a series on We Church, Not Me Church, to bring in a founding board member of New Chapel, still on the board, a great supporter of ours, the pastor of Epic Community Church in Gainesville, Georgia. I'm so excited for Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. Pastor, would you come up here? Give him a warm welcome to New Chapel. Pastor, take your liberty.
Well, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? And I'll give Pastor Joe some free Chick-fil-A or something after all those kind words. Hey, well, there's no Chick-fil-A here, is there? Oh, there is. Thank the Lord. Finally, Michigan's been saved, sanctified, and baptized in peanut oil. Amen. God is so faithful and so good. And as Joe said, I have been in his life, his majority of his life, coming up soon. He's getting older by the moment. Amen. Older and older. And for those of you who want any juicy information about your pastor directly after the service for a small donation, I'll be standing at those doors and I'll tell you anything and everything about your pastor that you might want to know, and even maybe some stuff you don't want to know. But I will tell you this, I'm minding my own business last night, and I wake up. Because I get up early. I like to get up early in the morning just to do whatever. Drink my coffee, read my Bible, quiet time in the house because I got two kids and a wonderful wife. So the earlier you get up, the more quiet time that you have. Amen? And I check my text messages, and at 5 a.m., I have a text message from Pastor Joe. I know that wasn't the Lord. Why? Because Joe don't get up at 5 a.m. Is that right? Yeah, six. Yeah, right. And so I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, what? And he texts. And then later on that day, I call him. He didn't answer. And around noon, he calls me and he's like, hello. I'm like, are you on drugs? What are you doing? He goes, you need to get in a plane immediately, if not sooner. Which is one of my favorite phrases, immediately, if not sooner. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, man, I've just not been feeling too good. Can you get in a plane and come up here and preach for me on Sunday? And do you have anything to say? And I said, yes, yes, and yes. I can come and you know, and that I told Colby, I said, you know, he's like, I can't believe you came at such a short notice. And I said, well, really, at the end of the day, that is what fathers do. Amen. And when the call comes out, then I come up. Amen. And so I don't have to, and I have a bag on standby anyway. I'm that kind of guy that if the call comes, I'm ready to travel because that's what God has called us to do. Now, I did have to throw my own church under the bus. we actually have services on Sunday nights at 6:30. And so I had to make some of those calls where I had to call my children's church director, and she about had a heart attack when I said, hey, guess what you're doing tomorrow night? And she said, what? I said, preaching. She goes, where? I said, at our church. And she goes, like on the main, in the main deal. I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh my God. I was like, well, God bless you. Gotta go. And so I don't know what they're going to do tonight, but I'm sure I'll hear about it. I know God is going to do some great things, and I'm excited to be here. And I can remember when this was nothing but a dream. I can remember when this was nothing but a vision in Pastor Joe's heart. And in Miss Kai, I can remember when none of y'all were here. Amen. I remember when we were in the movie theater. And I remember that. I remember before that even. I remember getting together. How many of you were here when I did a little teaching on, I think I did a teaching on finances? Anybody was here that was part of that financial teaching? One, two, three, four, five, six folks were there. Amen. And thank God y'all are still here. Amen. And that's something to be said about those who still yet remain. But the good news is that the foundation is still yet growing. Because with a great foundation, you can build great things. But without a good foundation, you cannot build anything that will last. And I appreciate each one of you that have been here from the very beginning. And then I appreciate each and every one of you that are here right now and are going to be a part of this new season of coming into your own facility, coming into your own building, and say goodbye to whatever this place is, gym or whatever this room, cafeteria, whatever it is. Goodbye to setting up and tearing down. Somebody say, glory to God. Those of you that do it every week, you happy and you know it. In Bible school, they say, clap your hands. You know, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're glad that you're going to be getting out of here. And there is something to be said about having your own place. It's kind of like you go from being a renter. How many of you renting an apartment right now? You're a renter. But there's something to be said that when you go from renting an apartment to having your own house. And even me, we were renting for a long time because of the nature of our schedule and traveling and moving around so much. We just rented. But 4 years ago, we actually purchased our own house for the very first time. I'm something years old. Amen. I almost said it. But I had a birthday July 30th. I'll appreciate any late birthday gifts, Chick-fil-A gift cards, anything you want to do, but that in particular. We just got our first house, and for some reason, there was such an ownership that came upon me. Like, when I was renting, man, when it come time to mow the grass, I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, thank God I got kids. I got free slavery right here. Let the kids do it. My wife's like, he's only 6 years old. He can't operate the weed eater. I said, oh, yeah, he can. He can operate it. And he's not even tall enough to hold, you know. But when I got my own house, it was so much of an ownership that came on me that, man, I love to get out and mow the grass. I love to get out and mess around in the yard. I love to do all that kind of stuff. And you'll feel the same way when you get into this new facility. There's going to be such a sense of gratification, such a sense of ownership that's going to come upon you. And it is going to be able to say, that yes, this right now, New Chapel is my church, but there's going to be a more of a my church. This is our church. This is our building. This is our facility. And when you go and invite somebody, you don't have to tell them, oh, it's the church over there in the other church. It's the church over there in that other building. No, you're going to say, this is our place, and this is where we're going to come together in fellowship. This will be the place that we can say, this is where lives are changed. This is where the wellsprings of the living Jesus Christ is flowing out of. This is our place. So I'm excited because I've been able to preach in all of the facilities thus far, and I'm sure I'll be the first guest speaker, Pastor Joe's son, wonderful, loving of my soul, glory to God, in the new place. Somebody say amen. And we know that God's going to do something great. So why don't you, in an act of faith, put your hands together and give the Lord Jesus Christ a hand praise for where you're getting ready to be. Glory to God. Because, man, I'm excited about it. And with that said, I want to just preach. And Pastor Joe told me, you know, he says, well, you can preach on the new series. And it's We Church, not, what? Me? I can't even read that text. I'm a little old. I don't even know what that says. It looks like Chinese to me. We Church, not Me Church, which that's true. Look at somebody and say, don't be selfish. Now, you already have figured out, those of you that have never met me, I am not from Northern Michigan. Have you figured that out yet? And I grew up in Kentucky. I live in Georgia. I'm a Southern boy. I'm warming up my vocal cords right now, and I love to preach. I don't play patty cake, baker's man. That's not how I like to do. I'm not going to hold up my Bible and be like, oh, this is my Bible. I am what I says that I am. I'll do what I says it can do, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that type of dude. I'm going to ask you to talk to me, and you're going to have to put your hand on your neighbor and tell your neighbor something and talk to them. So I hope you're sitting by somebody that you like. Look, and if you're not, get up right now, move, sit somewhere. I won't be offended. They might, but I'll be happy. Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, are you ready to have some church with me today? Just ask them, are you ready to have some church? And then tell your other neighbor, say, this guy might be a little crazy. And so anything that you might, now you might understand your pastor a little more as you see that, you see me, you're like, oh, okay, that explains everything. But if you've got a Bible, real quick, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 6, and I'll I don't know what time y'all normally get out, so, and I don't want to know, thank you, because I'm going to go as long as I want anyway, so praise the Lord. The Baptist may beat you to the buffet today, that's all I'm saying. They may beat you to Golden Corral. Ephesians 6, that is kind of gross, ain't it? Ephesians 6, and we'll start at verse 10, I'll read to you a little bit. In verse 10, Paul the Apostle says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this place, against spiritual hosts and wickednesses in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always and in supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Somebody say, amen. Verse 16 is where we're going to land this thing today. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one. How many of you know that we are truly in a battle today? As a matter of fact, I mean, turn on the television. I mean, if there's ever been a time where we need a church that will stand up for what is right, if there's ever been a time that we need a group of people that are on fire for God, not just on a Sunday morning on fire, but on fire for God on the regular basis, we're living in that time today. If there's ever been a time that we need a voice to come forth out of the wilderness to declare the word of the Lord, we're living in that time right now. It does not matter really who is in the White House, who is the governor, who is the senators. None of that really matters at the end of the day, because without Christ, nothing matters. It don't matter whether you're a donkey or an elephant or an independent or whatever you are, you may not even know. It don't matter. Without Jesus Christ at the helm of your life, all else is lost. Somebody say amen. And so we know for sure that we're actually, because as believers, we are a part of a new system. We're living in a new system. Now, what is a problem, though, a lot of the times with quote-unquote church people is that though you may have been saved, you have not totally acclimated to the new system, the new way of life. Sometimes we as believers are still trying to operate and do things the way that we used to do while still yet living in a new system. It's kind of like, those of us that, I'm not electronically minded at all. Thank God I have children to explain everything about phones, everything about electronics, DVD, whatever. You know, I still remember, I was telling Kobe, I remember when I put the tape in, the tape deck, and the 8-track, and all this kind of stuff. I had a woman, oh, y'all not going to believe this. My flight was only 2 hours, and one thing about an airplane is that whoever you're sitting with is a captive audience. Like, they can't get away from you. And I was sitting in the emergency exit, so she could have got away, but it wouldn't have been a good situation for her. And her name was April, and man, talked from the time we took off until the time we landed, and I think she got saved 4 times. She accepted Jesus Christ. She did. And when I said the word church, I said, man, I'm going up here to preach at a church. We got to laughing so hard. Pastor Joe, 5 people turned around and looked directly in my eyes. When I said church, they're like, what? I'm like, it sounded like I cussed or something. They were like in total shock. I'm like, these people are crazy. They haven't even got, the word church now is almost unheard of. It's something that people don't even know. But when you're in a new, brand new system and you're able to talk about what God is doing, see, I have to tell you, I don't like secret ninja Christians who are in the closet somewhere and they're ninjas until they come out the Sunday morning. And when Kobe says, lift your hands and worship, they're all like, okay, I'm safe. I can do it now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. But on Monday, where are you at? There's not a lot of amens right here. That's okay. It's okay. I know. That's all right. But amen. Operating in a new system. And in order to do that, you've got to give up your old way of life and begin to do it according to the new way that God has designed for us. You can't navigate in the new system using worldly techniques. Now, I don't know if y'all have these here in Michigan. I do know that you do have that real long U-turn, that like you want to be over here on the highway, but you got to drive 2 miles to turn around to get back to where it is. If I had a four-wheel drive truck, I'd never do that. I'd be on that median every day. I'd be like, drive! But that's how we do it in the South. So, but in Georgia, or actually in Baltimore, is when I found this out for the first time. Do y'all have roundabouts here? Them things are the devil. You get in a 2-lane roundabout and you get stuck in that thing for 5 minutes and can't get out. Have you ever got in a roundabout and got stuck in there because you are on the inside lane and you just in there and you're like, man, there's the road. Okay. And you're in a roundabout. Well, there's the road again. And then everybody telling you you're number one. You know what I'm talking about? Using the driving finger. This is the preaching finger. The other's the driving finger. And so you get in that roundabout. You know how many people even in this room are in a roundabout in their life, that you're going through the same thing that you went through last year and you can't get out? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you young folks, millennials, whatever y'all call yourselves these days, you in a roundabout. I don't get into all the psychobabble name calling that everybody gets into. I don't get into it. We all the same, and we all need Jesus in our hearts and lives, and we all got the same problems. I don't downplay it. I preach the same. If I was in here in front of the children's church, I'd be giving them this same sermon, because I found out a long time ago, I don't have to, the Lord Jesus Christ does not have to accommodate all this stuff that all these people have made up, that Jesus works for everybody. Whether you're 5 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old, years old and in Starbucks and skinny jeans, or you're standing up there with, I still got the old school shoes on, glory. I updated with some socks, but that's all right. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. I've come here to preach and tell you all the way up here in Grand Haven, Rapids, Michigan, that Jesus is the answer. I don't have time to be playing patty cake with nobody up in here today. I'm coming up here to preach, and then I'm going to go home and leave Joe with the mess I make. Somebody say amen. Because you in a roundabout. My God, you know, you get in that roundabout and everybody wants to play patty cake with you and pat you on the back and say, it's okay, baby. You know, you probably got ADHD or something. It's okay, baby. Your daddy probably beat you. My daddy beat, come on now. Everybody got beat when they were little. If you grew up when I grew up, lay your story down. It's been dead a long time. Somebody say amen. And you in a roundabout and you're trying to get out. Glory to God. But the only way you can get out is through and by a life of faith. You need a life of faith. Faith works in, not facts work in a world system. Faith works in this new system. See, the fact is that my mom, glory to God, went to the doctor many years ago. And she has multiple sclerosis and a number of other, like a laundry list of opportunities for God to do miracles. And she went and got an MRI on her brain. My dad was with her. My mom was an RN until she had to quit because of the sicknesses that she had. And when they pulled out the MRI and put it on the little screen, it was very clear to see that a portion of her brain had atrophied due to the multiple sclerosis that she had. That part of her brain, much to the doctor's surprise, was the part of the brain that allows you to be mobile and to have cognitive reasoning. In other words, to walk and to think. Now, my mom walked in the room, and my mom probably knew as much as that doctor did. At least she thought she did. Amen. And she's looking at it, and she could see the part of the brain that was removed, gone. My dad literally falls back, gets pale, almost faints, and the doctor the same. And the doctor says, Miss Pinkerton, I can't, this doesn't make sense. This must be wrong. Let's do another MRI. So they did another MRI. The facts were saying that the part of her brain that allows her to walk and think was gone. But faith says you don't need that if you're serving the God who created the brain in the first place. And my mom looked at my dad and said, why are you tripping? It ain't your brain. And my mom looks at the doctor. The doctor says, I can't understand it. And my mom said, of course you can't understand it. You're a doctor that you learned about the human body. But my doctor created the human body. And if he wants me to walk and talk without a brain, I don't need a brain because I can walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You can walk by faith. And she is still up, moving, doing. My mom might be fishing right now. Packing too. That's how we do it in Kentucky. Don't mess with my mom unless you want to get a little something, something. You know what I'm talking about. And that's a walk of faith. Now understand, faith don't make things easy. Faith makes things possible. Say amen. Faith don't make things easy. Faith makes things possible. Now, I gave something to our church leadership, and I'm not that big on it that much, and I'm sure Pastor Joe may be giving it to some of the leadership here. It's a spiritual, you know, like gifts test. You ever heard of, you know, you get in there and you answer all these questions and all this stuff, and it rates you and it tells you where your strengths and your weaknesses is. Now, I'm kind of old school. I try prayer and I let the Holy Ghost tell. Okay, anyway, so we gave my people, too, a spiritual gifts test. And all these, they were all laughing because some of them got real high in some areas, and some of them, like, they thought they were going to get high in one area and they got real low. Now, unfortunately, almost all the people in my church got real low in prayer and intercession. I'm like, man, my God, what kind of church we got here? Ain't nobody know how to pray around here. And my sister-in-law, she actually got kind of low in faith. And she thought, she said to me, man, I thought I was going to get high in faith. She goes, man, I was like, you did? And she said, yeah, I don't know why I got so low. I believe God to pay our bills, and I believe God to do this, and I believe God to do that. I said, well, that's not faith. Your husband's got a job, and he makes X amount of money.
So you don't even need to have faith to pay those bills. That's practice. If you got a job, you don't need faith. Say amen. Because you know what you're going to make every week. Now, it might take faith to get a new job, and for your boss, you might need to have faith that you believe God that your boss will do something and leave the company and you could become the boss. It might be faith to believe. I told Sarah, I said, girl, if you had faith, you wouldn't be renting and you'd be buying. Say amen. If you had faith, because faith is not designed to believe God for the small stuff. Faith is actually designed for you to believe God for the big stuff. That's why you need to operate the muscle of faith. Some of you are like, man, I just need more faith. You don't need more faith. You need to work the faith that you got. Because you're not ever going to have more faith. The Bible says that God gave you a measure of faith, and that measure of faith is all the faith that you're ever going to have. I'm never going to be given more muscles, somebody say amen, but I can if I were to take the time to use the gym membership that I got, and I found out something that just because I got a gym membership don't make me fit. Somebody say amen. You can have a gym membership, but don't go. Or I've had a gym membership for so long, I would go to the gym and look at everybody in there that looks buff, and I would believe God that I would look like that, but I found out that in order for me to be buff too, I have to do something and begin to work the faith. I mean the muscle. Somebody say amen. Somebody asked me one time, said, man, Pastor, you look pretty fit. You got a six-pack underneath that suit? I said, no, I got an 8-count nugget from Chick-fil-A. Shut up. You know how it is. And so it's you've been given it, but you got to work it. You've been given faith, and you don't work faith by believing God for things that are going to happen whether you believe God or not. When you begin to really believe God for the supernatural things, for the big things, like what Pastor Joe, I won't forget, every time he's getting ready to make a move, every time he's getting ready to do something that's going to require money, he calls me on the phone. He says, Pop, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I tell him the same thing. You know, I'm not the board member that's going to be telling you, okay, now what you need to do is you need to call these people and get on the phone and make all this paperwork and all this kind of stuff, because I don't do that at my church because I ain't got time for all that stuff. Glory to God, I'm up here. I almost said something. Praise the Lord. I need a little beeper up here because I'm up in Michigan. Might offend somebody. It'd be huge. Okay, so I don't want to offend anybody. Who was that? Just snuck in my sermon. But anyway, we got in there, but glory to God. And so I tell him, I said, Joe, do what you always do. At the end of the day, and what I like about Pastor Joe, he's got line upon line, number upon number. He's got all this paperwork, all this administrative, all this other stuff. Gives me a headache when I'm talking to him sometimes, but I just sit there and listen and eat Chick-fil-A while he's talking to me. And he's telling me all this stuff. I said, okay, that all sounds wonderful. And he knows that I'm probably not even listening anyway, but he wants to tell me, makes him feel better. And at the end of the conversation, I say, Joe, do what you've done from the very beginning, and that is stand on your two feet, square your shoulders back, and believe God for the impossible. Because I'm here to tell you, we walk by faith, not by sight. And when everybody else around his circle is saying, I don't know if you should go out on a limb like that and get that property when you've only got so many people, but faith allows you to stand on nothing and believe God for something that is not even manifested yet, but it's almost a reality to you when you believe it in faith and know that God can do it. And so, but he'll still tell me all the details, and I'm still going to tell him the same thing. Believe God. Put your faith out there. Take that muscle of faith and flex it. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to get out of the roundabout until you believe God in faith. So many of us wait on clarity. But the walk of faith is not always clear. If you're waiting on God to send a burning bush like he did Moses and catch your bed on fire and God speak down to you like Charlton Heston, Moses, and you waiting on that, you're going to be in that roundabout when I come back here the next time I come in the new building. Still in that roundabout, not able to get out. But if you operate faith, you can believe God. You got to believe him for the hard things. How many of you got some hard things in your life you need to believe God for? Wave at me right now. Like, wave at me right now. Don't be scared. Amen. Wave at me. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that. Wave at me. If you got a hard thing you're believing God for right now, something that you know that if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I'm not talking about you got a little migraine and you need somebody to pray for you. Pray for yourself. I'm not praying for your headache. I don't even care that you have one. Somebody say amen. Don't even bother me right now. You have a headache, take some Tylenol, forget faith, amen. Take some Advil, quit crying, glory to God. I'm talking about the hard thing that you're believing God for. People get on my nerves, as you already could tell, and I ain't afraid to tell you. You know, I love pastoring all but one thing, never mind. Anyway, and so you got to have it for the hard thing. Elisha asked Elijah and said, and Elijah said to Elisha, he said, what do you want? What do you want to believe God for? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me when I go, I'll give you exactly what you've asked for. Have you asked for a hard thing? That's what faith is designed for, is so that you could ask for the hard things in life. And when you begin to look at Paul the Apostle, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, take up the shield of faith by which you can quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one. Take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith by which you can quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, he's using some terminology here that the Romans and those people in that time were familiar with. The Roman soldiers, of course, had many different kinds of shields as they had a powerful army at that time. The particular shield that he is referencing, this shield, is the kind of shield that was about 4.5 feet tall and is about 2.5 feet wide. And it was the shield that the front line people had to use. And if you've seen, like, for example, the movie 300 or what, I don't watch movies. Joe told me about it. He goes to movies all the time. And I tell him to quit going to the movies because Jesus ain't going to come back to the movie theater when the rapture happens. They're going to leave him in there. I don't go to the movies. We going tomorrow? Okay, so he said, sets down, you've seen the shield, you know, where they set it down and they get behind it and it covers their whole body. That's the shield that Paul is talking about, that 4.5 foot shield, 2.5 foot wide. He says, take up the shield of faith. See, when you begin to really operate in faith, it's big enough. He's talking about faith being big enough that you can put your whole person behind faith. Now, I've learned about people as I have been preaching for 27 years. Somebody say amen. 27. I'm coming up on 30 years of preaching the gospel. This ain't my first rodeo. Somebody say amen. And that the shield of faith, I've noticed that some people will put the shield of faith down, but they got the leg out here. Or they got the shield of faith down and they're always popping their head up. Have you seen the movie? You pop your head up, what's going to happen to you? You know what I'm talking about? You put your leg out there. See, people will get behind faith for salvation. You can believe, how is it that you can believe that God is able to save you from eternal damnation in hell? Can I say hell in here? Do we still talk about that? Okay, hell, that's where you go if you ain't saved. You either saved or you're lost. Somebody say amen. Much to my partner on the airplane was shocked. She said, well, I'm not that religious and all that. I said, well, no. Let's not get it twisted, girl. You either saved or you're lost. You either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. And I ain't got time to play on the 2 hours that I'm going to be on this plane with you. You either say, well, I'm kind of Catholic. You're kind of lost. I ain't got time. See, that's what the problem is. We think we got all this kind of time going on here and we don't want nobody to get offended and we want everybody to be comfortable and we want everybody to be happy and I don't want anybody to be happy. I want everybody to be mad. I want them to be angry with me when I leave. I hope you're like, I don't know what that man was talking about, because see, when the true gospel is preached, it's going to make the lost angry and it's going to make the saved happy. Somebody say amen. That's what's wrong with everybody.
Well, I just don't know if I just don't know if the Lord, you know, he's a loving Jesus, you know, he's such a loving God. And, you know, I don't think you have to be so harsh. I think you need to get saved.
Amen. I'm about to fall off this thing. This thing's in trouble right here. And I'm talking, it's just a life of faith. The Bible says that the gospel is a rock of offense. Is anybody in this room besides me? Somebody say amen. Have y'all figured out that I might not be Baptist? I'm just saying, I might not be. I'm not telling you what I am. Amen. I'm just telling you, I love Jesus and I love his word, and I might like to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm just saying, glory to God. Isn't God good? Look at your neighbor and say, that dude's nuts. Go ahead and tell him you want to anyway. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that life of faith, I'm behind the shield, that's right. How is it that I'm back to where I was. How can you believe God can save you from eternal damnation and you got the faith for that, but you ain't got the faith to pay your tithes? Pastor did say amen right there. He's been saying oh me a whole lot, but he said amen right there. Don't got the faith to pay your tithes. You got the faith that you can believe God can save you. In other words, turn you around. You were once lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Believe God that he can save you and change you, but you can't believe God to heal your body. See, you're behind the shield of faith, got faith for salvation, faith for that, but your leg out here, and that's the part where you need to pull that in the shield and believe God to be healed. You can believe God that you got saved, but what about that daughter or son that's acting a fool right now because you let the iPad raise them and now you're feeling it? Oh, there ain't nobody say amen right there. I'm going to preach right there. We church, nah, me church. Your reason your kid's acting a fool is because he got his neck broke looking down in that phone all the time, and you do too. Ain't nobody going to say nothing, but it's okay. I mean, I'm going to leave, so you can be blessed. It's 11:30. If you're taking medicine, somebody say amen. Is anybody in this church? We're raising up a generation right now that got the strongest thumbs in the universe. You ought to put that down and open your Bible up. No wonder you're tore up. Well, praise the Lord. Ain't nobody going to say amen, though. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You got more likes on your Instagram, and God don't even like you. I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Who told you that? You need to get with Jesus. Somebody say amen. You need to love the Lord. You need to worship God. You need to lay down social media and open up the Bible, which that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the Bible. Oh, Pastor Joe, I don't know why I'm going through so much. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm going through. I don't know why my girlfriend left me. I don't know why my husband hates me. I don't know. And you're waiting for the next sermon series to tell you to have your best life now, and how you're going to have your raise your kids in the best godly home. You know what you need? You need an old-fashioned dose of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and prayer, where Wednesday night, like last week when you had a prayer meeting, that wouldn't be an event, but that would be a lifestyle. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Because, see, without faith, let's talk about this real quick. Y'all hope that Pastor Joe next time announces my coming so you can decide if you're going to come or not. That's all right. That's all right. Yeah, see, I snuck up on you. I pulled a ninja on you. You didn't have a choice. Here I am. Now you can't leave. You could leave, but I'm going to talk about you as soon as you get out the door. But, you know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about that. The Bible also says, and I know this is a new word that we don't like to use in most of our churches today, which is the word called sin. It's more like we all have issues. No, you got a sin problem. Say amen. Is that all right? Am I doing okay? How you doing? You okay? Good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you feel good. We got a sin problem. And then the Bible says, if it's not of faith. How many of y'all like the Bible? I like the Bible. Don't you like it? It's the only book that stood the test of time. They've tried to burn it, kill it, destroy it, and it's still here. Amen? The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall remain. And the Bible says if it's not of faith, it's sin. Praise the Lord. Lord, help me. The disciples acknowledged the fact that they did have faith, the measure of faith, but they actually told Jesus, Lord, I have faith, but help my unbelief. You know, that part of you that's down here, you know, the shield is here, and you, Lord, help my in other words, Lord, help me get my whole body behind the shield of faith. That area that's all hanging out over here. See, if you got that area hanging out, guess what the devil's going to get? He's going to get that. He's going to cut that arm off. You stick your head above, he's going to get that too. Say amen. How many of you could think of an area in your life where you lack faith? Wave at me. Just wait. You don't have to tell nobody because I don't want to know. Amen. But you got that area where you lack faith. Me too. I've got areas in my life where I lack faith. And you know what they would do to those shields? And I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Well, I just lied. My first lie. Amen. Lord, forgive me. They would take those shields. They were actually, the front of the shield was actually covered with about 2 to 3, well, some would say 2 to 6 inches of leather would cover the front of these 4.5 feet tall shields, 2.5 feet wide. 4 or 2 to 6 inches of leather. And every night, before they would go to bed, the soldiers would grab those shields and they would take oil and they would massage the oil into the shield. See, some of you got a shield of faith, but it's dry. Somebody say amen. Got a dry shield. Because what the oil is what it says to do what? Quench the fiery darts. Have you seen the movies? The dudes with the fiery arrows, right? Did y'all know that I was an archery champion when I was young? Can you believe that? How many hunters in here? Any hunters? Got anybody hunters? Anybody hunt with a bow? Anybody hunt with a bow? You know, like a compound bow. Well, I tell my friends, a compound bow is like shooting with a rifle with a scope on it. Anybody can do that. But I like compound bow and a recurve bow. And I was an archery champion with recurve. You know, we got trophies, me and my brother, it was archery stuff. And I like it when they shoot those with the flames. And what would happen is that they would set fires to all the shields that were not oiled up. Because if your shield has the oil on it, when the fiery dart hits it, it quenches it. See, and how do you oil your shield? Well, I'm glad you asked. You oil your shield through prayer. Prayer is what oils your shield of faith. And when you, at night, the soldiers would oil it up until it was so damp that when a fire would hit the shield, it would quench the flame. Because what they would do is if they could catch the front line on fire, they could get to the captain. I'm about to preach right here if you don't mind. What you need to do as frontline members of this church is you better have your shield oiled up so that the fire can't get the captain. Somebody say amen. We need to have a church that is oiling their shield with prayer so that it will protect the vision and the man of God. You need to oil your shield with prayer. Touch the person you're sitting next to on the shoulder and say, you better oil your shield. Just tell them, you better oil your shield. Your dusty shield ain't going to work in this church. You need a shield that's got oil because we don't have time to be putting out your fire. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, oil the shield. You can tell me because you ain't got no neighbors. Oil the shield. Oil the shield. That's one of the ways you can do it. Oil the shield. Another way you oil the shield, and Colby is going to appreciate this. One of the ways you oil the shield is through praise and worship. You want to know why you're on fire all the time and the fiery darts of the enemy are burning up your life and you got to take medicine to go to sleep and you got to take medicine to wake up and you got to take medicine to help your nerves and you got to take medicine so you don't shoot somebody in the parking lot is because your shield is dry. Somebody say amen. You got a dry shield. I'm tired of all these kids being medicated so they can pay attention in class. I believe that if you would oil your shield, you could get deliverance from all the things that bind you. And one of the ways you oil the shield of faith is with the lifting up of your hands and the giving God the glory. But not on Sunday. Not on Sunday. Sunday is where most of y'all lift your hands to God. If you even do it on Sunday. You ought to be in worship on Monday. When my feet touch the floor in the morning,
I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I just preached in an all-African American church 2 weeks ago. So I'm the only white dude in the room. Somebody say amen. So I still got that, oh Lord, on the inside of me right now. But when your feet touch the ground, there ought to be a praise in your heart. You ought to, tomorrow morning, I challenge you, when you wake up with a praise instead of a crybaby attitude. Wake up with, Lord, I thank you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. I give you all the glory, Lord. You saved me, sanctified me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's how you get your day started. And I promise you, if you do it like that, you'll feel good all day long. You might even come home and not yell at your wife. Somebody say amen. I'm trying to teach you how to oil up your shield. How many of you want to trade your dusty shield for an oily shield? Tell the truth. You tired of your life being on fire? Because see, that's what some of y'all's Jesus is. Let me tell you right now. Your Jesus is a, don't fall. I mean, I pray for you. It might not work, so don't fall. Some of y'all got a 911 Jesus. I forgot my belt, so excuse me. There we go. Because I ran out the house because Joe be bossing me around. You better get on a plane right now. You better quit smoking because your voice sounds terrible. Okay, he don't smoke. I said, some of y'all got a 911 Jesus. Because the only time you call on him is when you on fire. I think Joe told him to come up here right now to make me slow down. Talking music is supposed to make a preacher start wrapping it up. It don't work. Like, that's going to make me more spiritual, please. That's not going to help me. It's going to make me preach longer because I'm going to get in the river and start prophesying, acting crazy. I can't say I won't, but I don't plan on it. Somebody say amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got a 911 Jesus. You call on him when you're in trouble. Of course, you're supposed to call on him when you're in trouble, obviously. But if you would oil your shield, you would find out the darts are going to still come. But if you got your shield oiled up, when the darts come, they get quenched. So if you behind the shield, see, some of y'all's problem is you want to see everything. Oh, glory to God. This is good preaching for a white boy. I ain't going to lie to you. Good preaching for a white boy. I feel like running. I ain't going to lie, but I don't want to scare y'all completely to death right now because y'all be like, y'all already like, this dude's completely imbecile, crazy, maniac for Jesus. But the reason y'all in trouble because you always wanting to look because you're not comfortable with not seeing. And even with the church, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Even with the church, you want to know everything going on with you. Well, if I'm going to get my tithes, I want to know what they're going to do with it. Man, I just give my money and I don't even care. Because obedience is what I need to be obedient. I ain't got time to be like, well, I wonder what they're doing with that money. No, I just need to be obedient. You know, another way to oil your shield? Generosity. You want to know why your finances are on fire? And you're like, oh God, I got to put my finances out. Jesus, I got to put them out. Jesus, oh, I got this thing tore up. I got to put it out. It's because you're not being obedient with your finances to God. Quiet in this church. Do you know the percentage is about 20%? It's lower than that. I'm just going to be nice. About 20% of the people pay their tithes. 20% of the people do all of the work. Financially, volunteer, all that stuff. While everybody else is acting like they at the Cracker Barrel tipping Jesus. Treating him like a prostitute where you just go in and you leave and don't worry about it and leave a tip. That was a strong word right there. That slipped. But that's the truth. You come in here and get your praise on and then leave and might leave a little tip. And then walk away all week and don't think about him again. You got to oil that shield with generosity. You want your finances, bruh? You want your finances to get liberated for real? Then close your eyes, reach in there, and just give all and hope for the best. Say amen. You know, Pastor Joe's got a pretty big vision, and I've learned and over my life that with big visions, there's usually big dollar signs. Because the only kingdom that's going to come out of hell, oh, we're just going to believe God. Oh, glory. We're going to believe God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The only heaven, sir, the only city building that's going to come out of heaven from God is going to be the New Jerusalem. The rest of them you got to pay for. Somebody do like this. Oh, no, let's get relevant here. Another word makes me want to throw up. Make it rain. Make it rain. Come on, make it rain, baby. Make it rain. Your finances wouldn't be on fire if you could learn to do like this. One hand out. Most of y'all got a hand like this. But like this. One hand in heaven. And one hand open. And let the finances just flow. We got some babies running around here, don't we? Got some new little babies running around. Joe got a new little baby. And you know what we always do? We celebrate when they, oh, look how strong that little baby is holding on to my finger. Oh, that baby's so strong. You don't really know what the baby do. He letting you know that he's stingy. Stingy. You don't have to teach a child how to say, mine, 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 mine. You got to oil the shield. If you learn to oil the shield, your finances will get right. If you learn to oil the shield, your life will get right. If you learn how to oil the shield, I don't see why in the world that even with a group of people just like this, the size just like this, in this room, with a group of folk just like this, you could go into that new facility and it could be paid for. Yes. If you had faith to believe, God is able to do, according to Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think. According to you? No. According to the power of God that is working on the inside of you as you oil the shield. Have you ever took your fingers to a match or whatever? Psst. Have you ever done that? That sound? I'm wrapping it up. Don't hold me to it. Psst. That's the sound of the quenching of a flame. What if we had a church full at New Chapel that when you were around people's lives, that you would get around somebody and you would hear, psh. What's that sound? That's the sound of fiery darts being quenched. When everybody said it would never work, you hear, psh. When the people are talking about you, criticizing you, asking you why do you go to that church, asking you why you pay your tithes, and all you can't hear the naysayers, you can't hear the criticism, you can't hear them talking bad about you, you can't hear them talking, all you can hear is, psh, woo, I feel like preaching, all you can hear is, psh. When the devil's trying to burn up your finances, you don't get nervous because you knew you paid your tithes and you gave in the offering. And everybody's saying, I don't know how you're going to make it. And you're going to say, psh. What's that sound? Oh, it's the sound of fiery darts being quenched all around my life. Oh, looks like you got a bad report. And the doctor said you got cancer. And looks like you might die. It looks like you got blood clots in your lungs. And you better get in here quick. And everybody's getting all nervous and worried. And you ain't worried. You are a little worried. But you ain't got time to look around. Because you're behind the shield of glory to God. You're behind the shield of faith. And all you can hear is, psh, 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 psh. I apologize to the microphone. Amen. When everything in your life, the devil's trying to get you, psh, Look at your neighbor. And I've been wanting to do this all morning. Go, pshht. Now, I know you wanted to tell your wife that last night. You said, girl, you better pshht, be quiet. No, I'm talking about shield of faith, fiery darts. Go, pshht. What fiery darts is the enemy shooting at your life? Where is the devil trying to get you? Because I hate to bring it up, there is a devil. Pssht. I dare you on Monday, when you at your job and that boss is getting on your nerves, and you go back to your office. Don't do it in front of him. I mean, you can, I would, but don't do what I do, you know. But get in your office, lift up your hands, and say, psh. And the person next to that cubicle will be, what did you do? Psh. Why did you do that? You don't know? That's the sound of the devil being defeated. That's the sound of my finances getting a breakthrough. That's the sign of my body getting healed. That's the sound of my children being saved. That's the sound of my church being paid off. That's the sound of miracles happening. What do you mean the devil tried to kill me? But I said, psh. And when you get behind the shield, the devil can't get you. Because the Bible says there is a place in God where the wicked one cannot touch you. Ain't you tired of that same battle? Ain't you tired of that roundabout? Huh? I said, ain't you tired of that roundabout? I can see in some of y'all's faces you tired of the roundabout. Stand to your feet. Go on, everybody, stand up. Stand up. What time is it? I got to hurry up. What time y'all usually get out? Take your time. How many of you happy right now? How many of you might be like, I don't know what just happened. It's like a bomb blew up in here. That's the way that April felt when she got off the plane. She's like, I don't know. She said, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. I said, you can do both. Be blessed. Kobe, did she not give me the biggest old hug when you, like, she didn't want to leave us. Did she almost want to go with us? Kobe picked me up, and there's April, and I was going to just shake her hand, and she's like pulling it all in. Man, thank you. You have no idea. She said, she said, my flight got delayed 3 times today. I said, it did? I said, huh. 3 times. She said, yeah, I'm a preacher. Remember that. I said, 3 times? I said, Jesus took him 3 days to resurrect. And it took you 3 times to be delayed. To sit you right down next to this dude who I wasn't even supposed to be on this plane today. But my son called me and I had to come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so God set you up. I told her, I said, maybe my boy got sick so I could sit next to you in this plane. And God had to delay you for 3 flights so that I could sit next to you in this plane. And I need to tell you to tell Mary that she maybe is not a virgin no more. And you need to get saved and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it took you 3 times, my boy, to get sick, and I'm on the plane to Grand Rapids. Why? God knows all about it. Get behind the shield and say, psh. When you think God ain't watching, you mad. He delayed that flight on purpose. I fly a lot, and I found out there's something called a holding pattern. Have you ever been on a plane and they call you? Your ears have already started popping. And then they get on the deal and be like, we can't land right now. We're in a holding pattern. That's annoying. Don't you know it's annoying? You've already told everybody you're going to land to come and pick you up. Because you now got cell service. Don't you turn your phone on, turn that airplane mode off, and you can't wait until you see those lines. Doot, 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 and you go to texting. Say amen. And now you can't land because you're in a holding pattern. Some of you, you're in a holding pattern. God, you ready. You ready for God to bless, but you're in a holding pattern. Don't mean you ain't right. It means that where you're going to land ain't ready for you. Whoo, I feel like preaching. See, sometimes you want to be somewhere. And you think, I should have been somewhere else by now. Should have done been landed, Joe, by now. Should have been landed by now, but the pilot came on. So we're in a holding pattern. Because where you need to land, you ready. You've been ready. But where you need to land ain't ready. If you land while you're still in a holding pattern, disaster will be waiting for you. Because the runway ain't ready. Some of you been wanting to land, but the runway ain't ready. And if you hold on a little longer, do you know what I'm talking about? You can feel it in your soul, can't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about because you've seen it with your own eyes. Don't give up your shout for relevance. I'm going to tell y'all that because I know how y'all feel. I'm not going to give my shout up. I'm going to shout all the louder because people are looking for a river that runs deep. And deep in the river, there's a shout and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And there is a generation that is unfamiliar with the deepness of your shout. But if you hold on to what God has been doing in your life and has been preparing in you, He's been preparing you for such a time as this. And when the shout comes up, the people will join in with the shout. I'm here to tell you there's a revival, a moving of God's Spirit that is going to happen here. You've been in a holding pattern, huh? You know you have been. And you've been wanting to land something that you've been believing God for, but it hadn't happened. And you're nervous and wondering, like, you know, almost like, oh God, you know, almost hold your fist. For those of you that have ever held your fist up to God, it's no problem. God ain't nervous. You be mad at Him. He don't care. Oh, you're never supposed to be mad at God. Where did that come from? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Go ahead and be angry because God ain't nervous. You're in a holding pattern. But I believe that I can hear the sound of the pilot who has got a word from headquarters and said the runway is clear for landing. New Chapel, the runway is clear for landing. You ain't got to worry. Gonna land the plane. Gonna land the dream. Gonna land the vision. Gonna land what God has been telling you. Why? Because finally you've decided that you would get behind the shield of faith and you won't worry about what the pilot is doing. You're not gonna worry about what air traffic control is doing because God can see what you cannot see. You can't see that the runway is not prepared while you're in the plane, but just get behind the shield of faith and tell the devil you can't touch this. Oh, you can't touch it. I'm a child of the Most High God, and He's wanting you to get out like this, but stay behind so you can be ready when the plane lands. You can walk out into your promised land and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Give the Lord the biggest hand praise you can. Don't patacake the Lord. Give Him a praise like the Michigan Wolverines. Maybe we're in Trojan country. I don't even know. Go Buckeyes. Okay, praise the Lord. God is good. I'm getting ready to take my seat. Say amen. Because I've done sweated out my clothes. That's when I know I've preached it right. Because it's hotter than in this room right now. How many of you are believing God for great things? How many of you have felt like you've been in a holding pattern? See, look at all these people in a holding pattern. I'm about to run and ain't nobody chasing me. I ain't gonna lie to you. I got that Pentecostal power. burning on the inside. I feel like Jeremiah. There's a fire shut up in my bones. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you, I would go into hell with a squirt gun. I ain't afraid of the devil. I've got faith standing behind the shield of faith. Glory to God. Miracles are on the brink because you're in a holding pattern. He'd have let you land, but you'd have missed out on the miracle. You want to land? Land the plane. Go ahead on. Go ahead on. You're going to be calling the pastor, I don't know why my life is shipwrecked. Because you landed while you was in a holding pattern. You should have stayed in the air and trusted air traffic control. Has anybody ever landed and it wasn't time to land? In your life, you put the plane down and it wasn't time. And you ran back to that plane, like, I think I'll go back up. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I'm about to turn it over to your pastor. I'm going to let him do whatever he wants with this mess that I've made. But I'm going to pray for those that are in a holding pattern, and I'll let Pastor Joe come up and do whatever else he feels like he wants to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you feel like you're in a holding pattern, lift up your hands towards heaven right now. And you've been feeling, you just in a holding pattern. But I done told you, I felt like the Holy Ghost told me to tell you that air traffic control is granting you the access and that the runway has been cleared for your landing. Maybe you've been believing God in this room to start a new business. And you're tired of working for someone and you want your own business. Well, the Lord says, if you'll get behind the shield of faith and keep it all back there, quit popping your head up, trying to control everything, that he let you work and operate in that new business. The Lord is wanting to tell somebody that you're so nervous about your body and everything happening in your family, that if you'd pull your hand out from the shield and get it behind the shield of faith, that he would work it out for your good. Lord wanted me to tell you that this church, if you would stay behind the shield of faith and not be worried about numbers, not be worried about anything, all the practical stuff that we oftentimes worry about, and that if you would get yourself behind the shield of faith, that God would work it out and establish your steps and establish your dwelling place and allow you to strengthen your cords and to strengthen your stakes and all that good stuff. And that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless those that are in a holding pattern, that God, that you would give them the faith to withstand the moment of wait, that God, that they're in a time of delay, but I've come here to pray and declare that though you've been delayed, God is wanting me to tell you that you have not yet been denied. There is not a denial in the delay, but he's just trying to prepare you so that when you do land, you can receive the full benefits of that delay. There is a benefit in the delay. There's a blessing into the glory to God inside of the delay. So hold on in faith, believing that God is going to allow you to land. And when you do, when I return, you can come up and testify to me and say, Pastor Tommy, the plane has landed. I'm walking in the blessing of the Lord. If you're excited about Jesus tonight, today, I dare you to give God, oil up your shield with a hand clap of praise right now.
Glory to God. Man, praise God. Praise God. Wow. Wow. I don't think I have to tell you what happened here today. That's powerful. We all need a little bit of Southern church every once in a while, don't we? We should give it up for Pastor Tommy. What a wonderful blessing. My man of God, father in the faith. And, you know, as we preach messages like that, some of us in this room were stirred up, and like what Pastor Tommy said, sometimes the rock of the gospel can be a stumbling block for us. I just want to speak to that person for a second. I want to just remind you all the times that you watch that movie or HBO or you watch that stand-up comedy guy. They said crazy stuff, stuff you don't even believe in, but you laughed your head off in front of everybody else, and you might have even grown in that. You might have even heard something that changed you in that. And so if you came into this place and you're offended, can I just tell you something? I think our Christianity is broad enough to be challenged every once in a while. Say amen, somebody. And I think every once in a while we need a little dose of that Southern country boy preaching to challenge what we believe. Give it up one more time for Pastor Tommy. And now what I want to do is I just want to talk to your heart for a second. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you came into this room and you've never been in a service like this. It really changed you, challenged you. But you'd say that I don't have a relationship with God. Well, it's true, you're not a friend of God, but the good news is that our God walked across the crystal sea in heaven, descended down from royalty and riches, and took on the garb of a servant. That Jesus Christ came into history, into mankind's history, and bridged the gap in between God and man, and by dying for our sin on an old rugged cross, made peace in between God and man. Well, the big catch is that you have to accept that, but it's not just accepting it intellectually. It's going the step further. It's believing that your Creator knows how to lead your life better than you. And it's getting to the spot where you essentially say that, God, I'm not such a good Lord over my life, so I make you Lord over my life. When you do that, the Bible says that you will be saved, that you can be guaranteed an eternity in heaven. And I know that there may be people in this room right now that you've never made peace with God. Don't leave this room. It's true what Pastor said, that there is a real hell, a real enemy that hates you, hates your family, hates you. Make peace with God today through Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to say a prayer. This is something that we do every week, but this is something that if this is real to you, if you mean this, the Bible says that you'll be saved. Everybody say it with me. Say it loud and proud. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today to ask for a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Lord, I repent of my sin. I ask that you'd forgive me. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's give it up for all those people that accepted Christ in this room. Proud of you. Proud of you. What an amazing day. Well, listen, before we dismiss today, we're going to transition our service into the generosity portion. You guys can actually have a seat all over this room. I just want to talk to you about some of the things that have been happening at New Chapel. Like what Pastor said, we are in a season where we are moving toward our first facility. We're in that holding pattern, but God has that right time for us to land, and man, are we ever excited about it. Well, the reason that we're able to do that is because of your generosity. In fact, we're moving at the speed of your generosity. I just want to thank all the people that have given in the It's Your Move campaign. And then I want to give a little challenge. Pastor Tommy talked about having faith to trust God with the tithe. For some of you guys, that just sounds greedy. It sounds like, how could you cheapen this message with money? I gotta tell you something, it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. In fact, we believe that God is trying to get something to you, not something from you. And so New Chapel believes in this so strongly that if you go to newchapel.com/give, there's a portion there that explains everything that I'm gonna kind of describe in short. And it's called the 3-month tithe challenge. In other words, if you're not trusting God with your tithe right now, but you believe that it's something you should be doing, the Bible says to try God, to test Him in the act of tithing. And so what we will do is we will mark everything that's going on, keep a record of everything, and after 3 months, if you think it's all hogwash, if you think that I'm some sort of greedy pinstripe suit preacher trying to get something from you, we will refund all of the money that you gave during that 3-month period, because we are so confident in this, that you'll begin to realize the blessing of God. You'll begin to realize the great thing that He's trying to get to you. You'll begin to realize that no, He's not trying to take something out of your life. He is trying to bless you, but the way that He's going to bless you is counterintuitive to what our flesh feels like. And so I want to welcome those people who are skeptics in the room with your finances. Jump online. I dare you. I dare you to test God in it. Because I'm so persuaded of the promises of God, being in this game close to 13, 14 years, Pastor. Yeah, that's stupid. That God wants to do something great on our behalf, but we have to take His hand and partner with it. Amen, somebody? Do we have those pictures of the facility? I just want to show, as you guys are getting ready and getting your gift out, you can get that out. There's some pictures of the prayer meeting. You can just roll through these pictures. Amazing what God did. We actually just walked through there. People were writing with Sharpie markers on. You can go to the next one. It's kind of a cool shot. That's of me. I'm most definitely going to have that framed and put in my office. That's inside our new auditorium. That's Brian, who last week heard from God in service that God has called him to the ministry. Proud of you, young man. Proud of you. And this one right here, I want you to pause on this one. We found that one. We don't know who wrote it. My wife found it. And tears were streaming down our face. Now we all know that it was God that made the difference. But you know what? God used the church. God used each and every one of you. And so when we read that, it just made me reminded in my heart that we are for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Amen, somebody? So listen, if you have your gift, why don't you take that in your hand? You can hold that. Maybe you give online, or maybe you're new and you don't have any cash, but you want to give, you can go to newchapel.com/give and give anytime. But I want to pray as we sow a seed. And we're going to pass buckets to the rows. And as we do, we're going to trust God. Amen, somebody? Father, we thank you for the honor of sowing a seed into your ministry. Lord, we thank you that as we sow this seed, that you receive it in heaven as a sacrifice. That God, our generosity speaks, abounds about our hearts. And Lord, we trust you for the miracle that we need financially or with our kids or with our home or with our job. And God, the simplest way to trust you with everything is to trust you with our vocation, our job. And the way to do that is with our money. And so, Lord, we do trust you. As we sow this seed into the kingdom, we thank you that you bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.